Welcome in to another edition of the Daily Tap. It is Thursday, February 1st. We have changed the calendar. Just want to shout out all the people who've been checking out Snowtap WI. As you know, it's a website. Our clicks have been fantastic this month. So our views, clicks, whatever. It's been good. So thanks to everybody who checked us out in January. Hopefully we will build off that and continue to drop the hot fire in February. So a lot to talk to about tonight. We're going to look at the potential of the Bucks getting to 50 wins, and we've called it the quest for 50. Then talk a little bit about Aaron Rodgers' contract, as well as mix in some Greg Monroe talk, maybe a little rapid fire to finish us out, since there are a few topics on my mind that I didn't really know where to go. So we'll go Greg Monroe, maybe a little Marquette, since they did not play well today, as you read on the blog, some few trade rumors the Bucks are being brought up in, and just sort of go off there. Red Panda involved as well. Some Red Panda had a media fight going on in Radio Row. Just, I mean, really everything. So we'll get to all that. Before we get started, as you know, you can find us Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SnowtapWI. What are you waiting for? Subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play. If you're a fan on Facebook, you follow me on Twitter, and you follow me on Instagram, show me, give me proof, and I may have a little fun for you. Maybe I drop you $10 in your Venmo account so you can have yourself two nice guy beers. Or if you're in a state where a city where beer costs you $9, maybe I'll drop you $18. Maybe I have a Snowtap t-shirt for you. So send me some proof. If I have the proof, I will I'll hook it up. So appreciate it and let us know. So one of the things I want to talk about today is the Bucks get ready to play the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight in a back-to-back where Jabari Parker will not play. He'll play Friday night. 15 minutes is what they're saying. And also Eric Bledsoe may not play. He has a sore ankle. He was limited in practice today or on Wednesday. And Jason Terry is out. So the Bucks will be a little shorthanded, not I would say entirely shorthanded. Jason Terry has been a good contributor in the last week or so, but it's definitely a tough game against Minnesota. Timberwolves are struggling. They've lost their last two, but they've only lost six games at home. You have all the stuff going on with the Super Bowl. The temptation is real tonight for both teams. So who knows if they were going living it up on Wednesday night at Deja Vu. A lot of Deja Vu drops in the last couple pods. If you know what Deja Vu is, fine. If you don't, well, look it up and do it in your own home, please, so you don't get in trouble. I don't need HR being called on my behalf and say, oh yeah, this podcast told me to look up Deja Vu. It turns out it's a strip club and there's a lot of naked women on this computer screen. So don't do that. Just don't do that. Anyways, the Bucks start tonight in Minnesota, and it's one of the 13 games where it is predicted the Bucks will not be favored. I saw it even right now. I'm sure that could change. All the Bucks on Twitter. Dean is a fantastic Twitter follower. He's only at 3.2K followers. He should probably be around 100,000. He did this fantastic breakdown. He called it the path. I'm calling it the quest of 50. Basically looking at where the Bucks are favored and when they are not. So they have 20 games where they're favored, 13 where they're not. Dean kind of broke it out into which games are going to be the easiest to win, which ones are going to be the hardest to win. And he has it listed here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He really sees 6 games where the Bucks should win at all costs, like something really bad to happen and maybe not. And steal a line from our friend Bill Simmons, 7 are sort of that either or. You know, even though they're favored, the game could go either way. Then you look at the ones where they're not favored. He kind of lists only two as either or three, excuse me, as either or games, maybe four. I'll put Detroit in there. Four as either or games with a good blend of eight. So Dean has four games of relative ease on the non-favor that could swing either way and look good. I would say the either or as well. On the other side of it, he has four games that are sort of either or on the Bucks, on the Bucks side of things, on the not favored. And then you look at it where the degree definitely gets tougher, and the only really like super tough game in that schedule is at Golden State, for good reason, obviously. So you look at what the Bucks have left, and you see, you just go through the list and you see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So it looks at this time about 10 playoff teams. You have about 10 playoff teams left out of those 33 games, which is a pretty low number. But you do have some very important matchups against, two against Indiana, one against Washington, and those are probably the most important games on the schedule. Yeah, that Cleveland game could be big, could loom large, but you look at that those games, and those are really what might decide where the Bucks are seated at the end of the day, because these teams are running neck and neck. Now, we know Washington just had John Wall be out for 6 to 8 weeks. Then again, though, they looked pretty good against the Thunder. Now, this was just one game, and teams are going to adjust to this new-look Wizard team, and we'll just sort of wait and see, kind of just what we did with Jason when Jason Kidd got fired. It could be the complete opposite, where it goes on the hill. Now, the Cavs pulled one out tonight against the Heat. Oh, the Heat are also on there, which is big, but it's not as important to win that game, considering Miami already owns the tiebreaker against them, and there's nothing they can do, given that they only played three times, and the Bucks have lost both games so far to Miami. It'd be nice to beat them, especially if it would end up being the 4-5, just to sort of have that sort of message sent that they can beat them, but it doesn't really matter. The Bucks have a decent amount against the West, and the West isn't as scary as it used to be. New Orleans, they get without Boogie coming to town, I think, two Sundays from now, and they go to Minnesota, and then they do go out West late again. Now, this was a point, if you have been a loyal Tapping the Keg listener, this was a point of contention for one Mitch Pratt, and that is they are going to be on the road in the Clippers, the Warriors, the Lakers. So it's a Los Angeles-based road trip. I don't know if Memphis is part of that. It might be. So the Bucks do have a little bit of a road trip, bit of a swing there, but it should be all right. And I think this next week says a lot about where the Bucks are, from the fact that there's a lot of games, and this was the time where the Bucks would look worn out. Now, granted, they played three games in four nights, and they looked just fine. No real worries about what transpired. The Bucks have four games in six nights coming up here, and we'll see exactly where this Bucks team lives. I mean, the NBA did away with four games in five nights, but this is the closest thing to it. I think a lot of teams are actually bunched up this coming week. A lot of Bucks play Thursday, then they're home against New York on Friday, then they go to Brooklyn for a 11 a.m. start on Sunday. I'll barely be alive, probably. And then they go to New York on Tuesday. So quite a schedule for the Bucks, and we'll see. I mean, with playing New York twice, who looks been struggling of late, they got blown out tonight or Wednesday night against Boston, and Brooklyn's been bad as advertised. Granted, they did get a win against the Sixers on Wednesday. The Bucks kind of need to go 3-1 in this stretch. Like, Minnesota is the one you should lose, but if you do beat Minnesota tonight, it is a house money. All of a sudden, you've built out a house money game. So yes, if they win every game they're favored going forward, as well as three of their not, that would be 50 wins. They're not going to win every game that they're favored. They're going to surprise some teams when they're not favored. And I think you just have to sort of play it by ear and just go with it. You understand that this will look either more like a reality when we talk on March the 1st, or it's going to be sort of a distant memory, and it's like, well, if they get 45, that'll be cool. And you're just going to have to keep tracking it. And I'm sure Dean will do a great job. But like I said, follow him at All of the Bucks. That is a fantastic Twitter account for you, and get us started. We'll talk about Bucks Wolves, as well as preview all the games, preview Friday and Sunday on tomorrow's Daily Tap. So look forward to that. All right. So let's talk about Aaron Rodgers' contract. I think it's something that I didn't realize people were worrying about. And then I talked to Murph a little bit today, but we were just kind of bullshitting about Kirk. I have a blog post coming out this morning about Kirk Cousins and potentially going to Minnesota and how that worries me. And I am terrified. I don't really want to talk about it too much, ruin the blog. But he mentioned how people are overblowing the fact that Rodgers contract. He's like, I'm not worried about one bit. And I actually asked the question, like, wait, people are actually worried about his contract? And he said, some are. And I don't necessarily get it. I don't get why people are concerned about Aaron Rodgers' contract. I understand that the guy's going to get paid. I understand the guy's going to get damn near 85% to 90% of that money guaranteed. The fact of the matter is the Packers are going to get it done. They're not going to pull a Brett Favre. I know people want to like create that narrative, and to me, it's very lazy because Brett Favre had shown signs of potentially being done, and they knew Aaron Rodgers was ready, and they knew Aaron Rodgers was that good. It's not like Brett Hundley lit up the fucking scoreboard these last 6 weeks of starting. If he did, maybe there's a little bit, a tinge of a conversation, but that even wouldn't be a thing. Aaron Rodgers is still in his prime. He deserves to get paid like a king. He deserves to get paid like the best quarterback in football. And he's going to get one more big contract. And then from there, the team will restructure, readjust as things go on. So he's going to get paid. He's going to get his last contract and cash out. Of course you're going to make that money. The fact of the matter is the Packers are going to pay him. They're not going to let Aaron Rodgers go out on the open market. Every team in football would want Aaron Rodgers. That's just a fact. And so there's no way the Packers allow that to happen. And they're going to get this extension done. This kind of shapes everything else they plan to do. It may shape, why Jordy Nelson may get cut or Randall Cobb. And I'm sure there's going to be real discussions with Rodgers about, hey, look, here are the consequences of if we pay you this money. And not to hold your friends hostage, but also to say, look, this may have consequences. You may not say exactly what move you're going to make, but say if we pay you this amount of money, we're going to have to get rid of some guys and we're going to have to restructure. Because 2019 is loaded with free agents. It is absolutely loaded with free agents. And I'm not necessarily sure what the Packers' plan of attack right now. I'm sure Brian Gutekunst is doing a ton of research on the draft, but also looking at how am I structuring this roster in 2 or 3 years down the road, and who do we all see as part of the plan, and knowing the free agent class and knowing who's going to be signed and who's not, and who the Packers are going to make a run at or fill with free agency. I think it's overblown to worry about Aaron Rodgers. I think it's fear-mongering by local radio to say like, oh, Packers aren't going to get this done. The Packers, he has an opt-out in his clause. We proved that wrong on Snowtap WI after Colin Cowherd started spewing that bullshit. So fact of the matter is the Packers are going to get this done. Don't worry about it. I think I've said fact of the matter a couple too many times, which is a good sign that I should probably stop talking about this topic. But feel free to weigh in with your own takes, because if it's the take isn't they're going to sign Aaron Rodgers, they're going to give him a ton of money, you're wrong. I'm sorry. All right, a few rapid-fire topics. Marquette played like absolute shit tonight. You may have read the recap. I just felt like saying it again. Really embarrassing loss, as I did point out and should point out again. There's no bubble talk. It doesn't exist for a few weeks. We can revisit when other teams fall off. Marquette's going through a rough stretch. I think what happened there was a sandwich game, and I talked about it on the blog, but we can talk about it here a little bit too. Fact is you had a really emotional game against Villanova. You have a really emotional game coming up on Saturday with National Marquette Day, and this Butler team was sandwiched in the middle, and they are as fundamentally sound as it gets, and they are a bad matchup to play as a sandwich game. And Marquette came out flat, and they got their asses kicked. Hopefully it's a wake-up call. Hopefully it is a call to arms that your season is basically on the line every time you step onto this court, and we'll see from there. Greg Monroe getting bought out by the Suns. He cannot come back to the Bucks, so that has to be cleared up, that the Bucks cannot trade for Greg Monroe. And know that. I know there's some fear that he might go to the Celtics. If he does, it is what it is. I think you're still happy with Eric Bledsoe. I posed a question a couple weeks ago. Would you rather have Kemba Walker, Dame Lillard? than Eric Bledsoe. I still think Eric's fine for the value you got. You basically got him on a buyout. So Monroe can't come back, but you never know. Even if he affects the East, you know, the odds of the Bucks and Celtics meeting up is maybe in the second round or the third round at most. So we'll see. I'm okay if Greg's a part of a playoff run. He deserves it, and he would be a hell of a talent for that Celtics team. He seems like a perfect fit. I guarantee you the Celtics are going to make a deep push for him. Morgan Burnett had it on his Instagram that Sam Shields may be attempting a comeback. The Packers released him, so he'd be free to sign with whomever he'd like. I am a little worried about Sam Shields just from a health standpoint. Guys suffered a lot of concussions. You know, this is the classic, all these guys know is football, and you want to be worried for him, and you want to hope that this is the best decision moving forward. I don't know how I would feel about the Packers re-signing him to a one-year deal. That's tough, man. That is a really tough call. I mean, the one-year incentive-laden deal sounds great, but it almost feels like it's a mercenary thing with his head injuries, that one more and it's done. And I don't know if Doc McKenzie would take on that risk. Shout out Marty Bennett, that fuckboy, and whether that would actually be a thing that they would do. So that'll about wrap us up for Thursday. Once again, you can find us, SnowTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, as well as subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play. Check out our SoundCloud too if that's more your fancy. I've never really dropped that, but who knows, why not? It's a Thursday, it's late. So we will be back tomorrow to talk about what's going on this weekend, oh, that little Super Bowl thing, and talk about anything else that's happening along with what the Bucks did against the T-Pups. So take care, guys. Have a good Thursday. See you.